is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black takes us to Saxavord. Bob Zimmerman is here to explain how the United Kingdom's apparatus has moved several inches. The question was, would this happen or not? It was tense. Bob, what is Saxavord and why is this suddenly a success?
I'm not sure it's a success. It'll be reported as a success by most of the press, but I took a closer look at it. Well, Saxavord is a new spaceport being built on the Shetland Islands in the Norwegian Sea. It's one of the northernmost islands that's under part of Great Britain. It is one of two spaceports being built in Scottish territory by the United Kingdom. The Civil Aviation Authority, CAA, of the United Kingdom has finally issued Saxavord its launch license. This is 13 months after the application was submitted. So everyone was immediately saying, yay, we're going to see space rockets launching from Saxavord. And I'm being the wet nurse, the wet blanket here, and saying, no, we're not going to be seeing launches from Saxavord very soon. They've given it a spaceport license, but they still would have to issue launch licenses to any specific rocket that wishes to launch. And I looked into the language of this very closely, including a recent report from the UK Space Agency that analyzed the regulatory problems with the Civil Aviation Authority. First of all, the Civil Aviation Authority is requiring that any launch that occurs at these spaceports in the UK have to be a rocket that's been developed and proven operational ready. The trouble is that for both spaceports in the UK, all the rockets that are being planned to launch from these spaceports, all of them, are untested. They're new. They haven't been flown yet. For example, one company, ABL, was going to launch from Saxavord this year. They didn't. They have now switched that launch to Kodiak, Alaska. And I couldn't figure out why that happened, and I know why. The CAA was basically telling Saxavord and ABL that you can't launch from the UK until you've already launched elsewhere. So they shifted away from the UK spaceports. The report from the UK Space Agency goes down the list and just confirms everything I've been saying about the CAA's regulatory nightmare that destroyed Virgin Orbit, for example, and they made many good recommendations about how to change the situation, because right now, it's almost impossible to get a launch license in the UK, basically. You're going to wait a year to 2 years. And this is going to be a lot of problems for those companies that were planning to launch from those two spaceports, one of which, Orbex, had signed a 50-year lease with Sutherland, that's the one in Scotland, to launch its new prime rocket. And they even built their rocket factory very close by. And they've already done some test engine tests. They're not going to be able to launch that rocket from Sutherland based on the CAA's present regulatory framework. And this is a problem for the UK. I don't see how these spaceports can make money in the end.
Identifying lessons learned. This is from the UK government website talking about these decision-making moments. These themes, including ensuring clarity of roles, responsibilities and ownership of communication, decision-making and escalation protocols, and the instigation of reviews into the regulatory landscape, the approach to insurance and liabilities, the approach to international agreements in conjunction with European partners, and consideration of how to improve knowledge sharing and guidance. Is that language used in the U.S. for launch licenses, Bob?
No, much of this part of the problem we've had recently is they're beginning to do that kind of thing in the U.S., which is slowing launch licensing down. What goes on here is that what's worse in the U.K. is that they're demanding that the licenses not be issued unless the government is totally, totally sure that everything is going to work, which means the government suddenly is in the process of determining the capabilities of the companies, and that's really impossible. In a free system, you let the companies do their thing, either succeed or fail on their own. It's not the government's right to make a decision on who's good and who's bad. but they're making it so, and that's causing problems, and that's one of the reasons we have a problem here. Whether the UK will go along, whether the CAA and the UK regulatory framework will fix this, I don't know. I personally think the only real fix to this is a turf war within these bureaucracies, and the only really way you get that Gordian knot cut is with elected officials at the top stepping in and saying, we're going to fix this. That's not the case.
They refer in this document to something called the UK space industry, but from your reporting, there is no UK space industry that's actually done anything, correct? We don't have.
Yeah, there's some companies that are trying to make ground, and there's these spaceports that are trying to make ground, and some rocket companies that want to launch from these spaceports, but none of them have actually done anything yet, and part of the reason they're stymied is because of the regulatory framework.
There have been no launches. Is that a fact?
No, no launches.
Okay.
Nope.
After several years of talking and more regulation and this elaborate document that I just read from, the UK space industry is sitting on the ground. All right.
That's right.
We move to Boca Chica, another an example of government regulation, I believe. We're waiting for SpaceX to launch number 3 of the Super Heavy Starship. Except, is this a new group that showed up? A new group?
No, this is the same group of fake environmental groups that are claiming that SpaceX and its launches at Boca Chica are destroying the universe. We're all going to die. And they filed lawsuits before they got dismissed, and they've now filed another complaint attempting to stop SpaceX launches at Boca Chica. These groups don't really exist. They're one Center for Biological Diversity. It makes its profits by suing the government and then settling out of court, and then suddenly that's where they get their money. You got two other organizations that want to use the territory for their own purposes, the American Bird Conservancy and Surf Rider Foundation. These are surfers that like to use the beach. And then you get a fake Indian tribe, which is really was never existed. It's not even an official tribe. And it was based in Mexico when it did exist. There's a corporation that's pushing here. And then a fake environmental group called Save the Rio Grande Valley, which doesn't represent anybody in the Rio Grande Valley. He's all sued before. They've now sued again. They're saying the FAA and the Fish and Wildlife did not do the proper environmental reviews before they issued the license. And I translate their court suit to simply be, your review didn't come to the conclusions we want, which is to block all work by SpaceX so that we can do what we want. And that's essentially what these lawsuits are about. But it's harassment, and I don't know what's going to happen with it because the FAA has fought them. I give them that credit. SpaceX joined the fight, and that's why the first case got dismissed. But we're still in a situation where it's just going to slow SpaceX down.
And right now, the statement that you highlight, they accuse the FAA of once again failed to take the requisite hard look, that's in quotes, at the impacts of the Starship Super Heavy launch program through a supplemental NEPA analysis. They're accusing the FAA of not taking a hard look. 7 months was not a hard look for them? Is that...
What the FAA and Fish and Wildlife finally decided was that what took place did not do enough damage to require a complete new environmental report, impact statement. And NEPA is an environmental impact statement. It's a complete new impact statement. A new complete impact statement could take up to 5 years.
Okay.
And that's what they want, because it would be a complete shutdown for 5-plus years. Right. And that's what the FAA and Fish and Wildlife said.
All right, let's go to a program that doesn't mind dropping rockets on human beings. That would be the Chinese. There is some advantage to being an insider in China. You don't have a licensing problem. China's X-37B has committed itself to, what is this, a new mission?
It got launched last week, and it's up on an unknown mission. It's unnamed. We call it the X-37B copy because it looks exactly like the X-37B, but they've never given us a name. It's a very secretive program. It's military. They launched it. It's a reusable mini shuttle. But we don't know if this is the one of a fleet, and therefore it's on its first flight or second flight or even third flight. We just don't know. What's interesting is that shortly after launch, it appears that it deployed 6 independent small, they're calling them objects, that are in a variety of orbits that are emitting a variety of signals, some that appear nothing more than beacons. There is some rumors that this might be orbital debris, which would be of significance if it's broken up, but we don't know anything really. And in the past, the previous flights of this Chinese X-37B copy did release objects as well, deploy objects as well. So that could, we don't know what's going on, but we know something is happening. That's basically it, John.
Laser communication test. What is Psyche?
Psyche is a probe that's on its way to the asteroid Psyche, but on it is a test engineering experiment by NASA to see if they can do laser communications rather than radio communications, upload and download data from a spacecraft using lasers. And this is if it's been done in low Earth orbit, and it's been done in a lot of other aspects. This is basically optical communications. Your optical, you know, you use optical cables on Earth, and it allows for a much greater bandwidth. You can really send a lot more data quickly. They did a test in mid-November. It worked, but they've now done an even more sophisticated test when Psyche was about 19 million miles away. And in this particular one, they proved how much faster it is, anywhere from 10 to 100 times faster with more data, by transmitting a 15-second cat video, which I have embedded on Behind the Black, so you can watch this cat totters running around on a couch chasing a laser pointer. It's cute, which is a good idea to attract attention, but it also demonstrates that this technology is workable now, and it needs to be refined. But if we use laser technology to communicate in space, we're going to be able to get a lot more data back and forth.
Bob, do you remember the Pluto mission? We had to wait weeks for the download of information.
That would still take – yes, you're right. Actually, absolutely right, John. When Pluto – the New Horizons went past Pluto – Even putting aside the time the light takes to get back from Pluto, it took weeks to get all the data down or by radio transmission, even with wide beam, you know, high gain antennas. With a laser technology, this would be done much, much faster, and that's a really good thing.
Spain is joining the space race. Where, Bob? What do they want?
In March they announced they by law created a new Spanish space agency, and so there was an article this week that outlined the history of why it was formed and how it was formed and what it hopes to achieve. Basically, the government space operations before this were split between 11 different agencies, which is a real mess. And so they didn't get much done. They are a partner in the European Space Agency, but Spain has always been a very minor partner in this, and this might explain it. So creating a space agency that handles everything consolidates things and makes it simpler. And there's another component to this. They want their space agency to mimic what NASA's done for the last decade. Be a customer, buy the products from the private sector instead of trying to build it itself. And since Spain is beginning to get a emerging launch rocket market with several startups, this is a tied in very nicely. And so this could be a good thing for Spain.
What is the ESA with all these independent space agencies? What role does the ESA play?
Less and less. When it was first formed, none of the European nations really had the capability to do things themselves, except maybe France. And so France led the way to create a European Space Agency so it could do what it wants but get others to help pay for it. And the other countries joined in because they couldn't afford to do it themselves, and so they got something for less. That was the whole original idea, and for the last half century, it's kind of worked for Europe, but it's not working anymore. European Space Agency is not achieving much, and so basically a lot of these countries are now going their own way. Germany's trying to create its own private industry, so is France. UK has already been ahead on that, though we've talked about its problems. And now Spain's moving in as well, and Italy doing the same thing. So it just means this ESA is becoming less important, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bachelor.